Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, the Holy Spirit series. In this series, we'll explore the person and the role of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit works in the world, in the church, and in the lives of Christians. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, again, welcome everybody here in the house, as well as everybody joining us online. We're glad you're here. We're kicking off a new series today called the Holy Spirit series. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is an essential and a non-negotiable belief of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to back up here for a second. This we need to understand, there's another essential doctrine. It's called the doctrine of the Trinity. And in a very simple definition of the Trinity is that we believe that we have one God who reveals himself to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit because we believe that all three are important, but people seem to grasp God the Father very well and God the Son, Jesus Christ, very well. But sometimes they struggle with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go to our website and look at our statement of faith, you'll see that it says this about what we believe about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit who came forth from the Father and Son to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to regenerate and sanctify and empower all who believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer in Christ and that he is an abiding helper, teacher, and guide. Now, when the topic of the Holy Spirit comes up, I suspect a lot of people think of several different things. They probably think of what Jesus said about the Spirit, or they think about what they read in the second chapter of the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of those who were followers and believers in Jesus. It was the day of Pentecost. And then maybe some of us think about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we read about in the New Testament. But where was the Holy Spirit before we read about the Spirit in the New Testament? Where was the Holy Spirit present and active, for instance, in the Old Testament? We're going to look at that today. In his book, Knowing the Holy Spirit Through the Old Testament, scholar Christopher Wright has written that in the Old Testament, we see that the Spirit who breathed in creation and sustains all life on earth. We see that he is the Spirit who empowered the mighty acts of those who served God over many generations. We see he is the Spirit who spoke through the prophets, inspiring their commitment to speak the truth and to stand for justice. We see he is the Spirit who anointed the kings and ultimately anointed Christ, the servant king. And we see that the Spirit is the one through whom the whole creation will finally be renewed in, through, and for Christ. We could not know him clearly apart from Christ and the New Testament, but we can know him in all of his divine fullness also through the Old Testament. So today, we're just going to predominantly look at scriptures from the Old Testament. So we're going to jump right in. And the first place that we see the Holy Spirit mentioned is in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. So in the first chapter, in the first two verses, this is what we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there, at the very beginning of all time, at the very beginning of the universe, we see the Holy Spirit was present. The Spirit was present when everything was created. So let's talk about the creating Spirit. Now, understanding the meaning of the Hebrew word used here in Genesis for the Spirit helps us understand more about the Holy Spirit. It's the word ruach. Ruach. And it can mean spirit, but it also can mean wind, and it can mean breath. So those words help us understand the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that verse again and see what it says. It says, the earth was formless and the deep waters were there. And what does it say about the Spirit of God? It says the Spirit was hovering. When we think of wind, by definition, wind moves, wind blows. It doesn't hover. So we get this sense that at the beginning of time, at the beginning of everything, the Spirit of God was present at creation, poised along with the rest of the triune God to act in the divine process of creating everything that we see in the universe, everything that we know about the universe, everything that we see and each other. Now, if we go on to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we see God forms the first person from the dust of the earth, and God brings this person to life by breathing the breath of life into him. Now, the Hebrew word ruach is not used in this verse for breath, but what I want you to notice is the proximity. We've been talking about the Spirit, but now we see Spirit and breath in this creating job in very close connection to one another. It's the same proximity we see between Spirit and breath in other places in Scripture. For instance, in the book of Job, we read this, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of God is active in your and my creation. The Spirit of God gives us the breath of life. We can't have life without breath, and the Spirit gives us both. But I want us to see the creating power of the Holy Spirit is not just relegated to the first chapters of the Bible. It's also seen in our own prenatal development. Patrick read from Psalm 139 during worship. I'm going to share a couple of insights about Psalm 139. Now, these are the words of King David. He wrote Psalm 139. And in this very popular psalm, he speaks to God. And at one point, he acknowledges God's omnipresence. In other words, that God is everywhere through the Spirit of God. And then he acknowledges that God created him in his mother's womb. So the omnipresence of the Spirit of God tells us that the Spirit is present and active even at the point of our lives before we're born, while we're being knit together in our mother's wombs, in our prenatal growth phase. The Holy Spirit's creating presence is an ongoing process in the lives of those of us who call on God and the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to turn to another psalm of David. After King David was confronted over multiple acts of sin that he committed, he repented and he penned these words. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So David is modeling for us that we can turn to God and the Holy Spirit and ask them to create in us a new heart, when we seek forgiveness for our sins, when we ask God to renew us and restore us. The creating Spirit of God is ever present and ever working in creation and in our world and in the lives of those who call Jesus Lord and Savior. Now let's look at another attribute of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Old Testament. We see that the Spirit is an empowering Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God is all-powerful, omnipotent, is what theologians would say, just like God the Father, just like God the Son. And the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit can and does empower people. I appreciate, again, the words of Christopher Wright and his conclusion about what he says when human beings are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He writes, "That's when the trouble starts." He goes on and he says, we are people to whom God has given the very risky capacity for making up our own minds about things and exercising our own choices. For when God's power and human weakness were combined in a single sinful human being, the results were not always predictable and were sometimes downright ambiguous, and I would say problematic. The reason is that the person in question, even when empowered by the Spirit of God, was still a fallen, sinful human being like you and me. If that was true in the Bible, how much more is it still true today? And yet, the God who created us, the God who represents to himself, to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, still takes the risk to entrust us and fill us with his Spirit and empower us as followers of Jesus. Now, that's important because when the Holy Spirit is given to us, we don't become robots. We still have our own thought processes and minds, and we can choose to follow or choose to disobey and not follow. So let me pause here for a moment and point out something very important about the Holy Spirit and about humanity. Prior to the day of Pentecost that we read about in the book of Acts, we see that everyone who believed in and followed God did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. In the book of John, we read how Jesus promised that the disciples would be given the Holy Spirit. Before he ascended to heaven, he told them this, that the Holy Spirit would come and be with them and even dwell within them, live in them. And that's a promise that he made to all of his followers then and every successive generation of followers of Jesus, including you and I. So then in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all the Christ followers. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. But before this, every believer was not filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit all the time. There were times where we see and read about the Holy Spirit empowering people to do amazing things in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them like the Holy Spirit does now since Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all believers. So, the first place in the Old Testament that we read about someone being filled with and empowered by the Spirit of God is in the book of Exodus, where God gave Moses, the leader of the people of Israel, instructions about creating the items that would be used in the worship of God in this tent of meeting, or as it's called in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. In fact, the last six chapters of the book of Exodus are honestly quite fascinating as you see the details about everything that was supposed to be made for the worship of God. Now, I'm just going to focus on a few verses, not all six of those chapters, but in Exodus 35, we read this. Then Moses said to the Israelites, see that the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. Now, don't miss the connection here. The very same Spirit of God who was present and active in the creation of the universe and in the creation of humankind is now seen for the first time empowering human beings in the act of creating the very instruments and items that the people of Israel will use in the worship of God. The creating Spirit is now empowering the creation to be creative. One writer writes this, this text encourages us to believe that the same Spirit of God who is at work in creation is also at work in the same wider sense in all those who are human beings, made in God's image, enrich our world with all kinds of creativity in art, music, colorful design, beautiful craftsmanship, skillful speech, and writing. When we honor and admire such art, we give glory to the Spirit who empowers it. So for those of you artists in the room, know that that comes from the creating Holy Spirit. God wasn't just empowering people to create things. He was also empowering them with other skills and other gifts, specifically the ability to lead. Read through the book of Judges and you will see this. The book of Judges tells us about a time in the history of Israel before there was a king. And the country was led by men and women who were called judges. Now, these weren't judges like magistrates that you would see in a court of law. These were leaders, and that was just their title. And time again, we see that the Spirit of the Lord came upon these judges to give him or her the power and the ability to lead Israel in their time of need. It's beautiful to see that. Now, when you read through the New Testament, you will see that the Spirit of God is responsible for empowering people with gifts and abilities that build up the church. For instance, one of those gifts is the gift of prophecy, about which we read this in the second letter of Peter. Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So this scripture is telling us something really important, that as we look back at the prophets of the Old Testament, as well as we look forward toward the gift of prophecy in the church, it tells us that something here is extremely important. While prophets were human beings who were speaking, they were speaking the message that God provided for them to speak. And did you notice what was the empowering force that carried these prophets along? It was the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit then is the agent of communication from God's mind with God's word through God's prophets to God's people. We see that over and over again in the Old Testament. The prophetic books that we have in the Old Testament are books that have been vetted over and over again by theologians century after century, and those prophets have proved to be empowered by God's Spirit to bring God's everlasting message to his people. So I want to look at just a couple of them. The prophet Micah talked about where he received the power to bring his message. He said this, "I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." So he's empowered to call out the leaders and his nation for their sinfulness. And when you study the prophets and their messages, you will see that God used them to speak his message of truth and justice over and over and over again. Prophet after prophet was called to speak and reveal God's truth and God's justice to his people. We see in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit empowered artists, leaders, and prophets. They were empowered by the Spirit to do what they did for God, to serve his mission here on earth. And they did as the Lord said to the prophet Zechariah. Now, the prophet Zechariah was encouraging the governor of Judah to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after it had been destroyed by the nation of Babylon. And this is what the prophet Zechariah said to the governor through the Lord's words, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit." So we need to recognize as followers of Christ that we want to live and work and fulfill what God's calling us to do, not by might, not by power, but through the Holy Spirit who indwells us and guides us. Now, we've already mentioned that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was yet to be poured out on the believers, but we get hints about the coming Spirit. And that's where I want to come to a conclusion on this, to talk about the Spirit that was prophesied to come. There are two important prophecies in the Old Testament that tell us about this, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would come in the future. First, we're going to look at the book of Ezekiel. It was written about 596 to 574 before Christ. And God gave that prophet a message to speak to the people of Israel who were in captivity in Babylon. Now, early on, the prophet was directed by God to give Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem messages of judgment regarding their own sinfulness, their own idolatry. He called them out time and time again. But in the latter portions of this book of prophecy, God tells the prophet Ezekiel to speak messages of hope concerning the restoration and the glorious future that God would have for his followers. This is what we read in chapter 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities, from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. It's so powerful here. He's saying, listen, I'm going to purify. I'm going to forgive you for your sinfulness. And because you've been so cold-hearted, you've had a heart of stone, you turned your back on me, but I'm going to remove that immovable heart of stone, and I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh, one that's teachable, one that's pliable, one that will decide to follow me as God and worship me. It's a message of hope, a message of forgiveness, a message of a second chance. Now, as the saying goes, hindsight is 20/20. And clearly we see a prophecy about the coming of the Spirit in these words from Ezekiel. And we know that it was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And that will take me to the last scripture that I want to share this morning. And it's important. It's from the prophet Joel. It's a small book of prophecy in the Old Testament. It was written about 200 years before Ezekiel's prophecies. And Joel's message from God was a message to the people of the kingdom of Judah. And it was a message to repent. And Judah hears it. And after the people of Judah repent, the Lord says that he will restore them. And then God speaks to Joel and tells how the Lord will renew the people of Judah. And this is what he says. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, some of you may think, well, that sounds familiar. It should. Because in Acts chapter 2, which I've referenced several times this morning, Jewish pilgrims from all over the world came to celebrate the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, Christians now know that that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers. And that's why we celebrate the day of Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's when it happened. And what we see and why this scripture sounds familiar is because on that day, after the Spirit was poured out on all the believers and they began to talk to those pilgrims from all over the known world in the languages of those pilgrims that they had never known before, but they did it empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter gets up, the Apostle Peter, the one who had denied Jesus three times. And he preaches an amazing sermon. And he starts it off with these very words from the prophet Joel. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He was saying that this was the fulfillment, that the Spirit had been prophesied to come, and now it was being fulfilled on this day to tell everyone that the Messiah, the hoped for Messiah, the Savior of the world had come, and his name was Jesus. And he said some hard words in that sermon. He said, "You are responsible for his death and his crucifixion." And the people said, "Well, what must we do?" And he said, "Repent and believe in Jesus and be baptized." And thousands of people repented that day, and the church was born, and thousands of people became followers of Jesus. Today, I want you to see the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the Old Testament, because coming forward from here, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the New Testament. But I want you to understand what this means for you. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is the same Holy Spirit that we have today. The Spirit of God is real and is moving in our midst to create us in our mother's wombs, but also to recreate us into new creations when we repent and decide to believe in Jesus. The Spirit empowers us like he empowered artists and leaders and prophets in the Old Testament. The Spirit works in us because he is real and he leads us to Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus and when we follow Jesus, the Spirit comes to live with us and in us, to be our teacher, our guide, and our comforter. You have this today if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you do, you will be a recipient of the Holy Spirit. And again, it doesn't turn you into robots, but you have the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, your guide, your comforter. The Holy Spirit will rebuke you and tell you to turn away from sin and tell you to turn toward God. So today, I want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus, to lean into the Spirit's guidance. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to tell him that you want to believe in him and want to follow him. And so to do that, I'm going to enter into a time of prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up for our closing song. But I want to close in prayer. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, but you want to become his follower today, again, as I said earlier, you can do that. And I'll just give you some silent time to pray. And then I'm going to pray for all of us. So let's bow our heads. God, as we gather here today and we've seen the truth of your Spirit revealed in the scriptures of the Old Testament, we recognize that you sent the Holy Spirit to all of us who believe in and follow you. And for anybody who has never told you that they believe in you and want to follow Jesus, this is their opportunity to tell you silently, Lord. So hear their prayers. Father, I'm grateful for those who have prayed to follow you. Fill them with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would renew in us a right spirit, that we would seek to be your faithful followers, that we would seek to be guided by you and not by the ways of this world, not by the whims of the culture, but that we would seek to be fully devoted followers of you. Lord, give us ears to hear your Spirit. Give us eyes to see what you are calling us to do. And Lord, help us not be afraid of your Holy Spirit, but to lean in and ask the Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.